It's Tuesday evening, August 7th. Rabbi Feldman's here. Tonight's share is sponsored by Sheila and Danny Baer in honor of the birth of their grandson, Yonatan Avraham.
Thank you very much. I thought we would talk a little bit about Tisha B'Av. It's 2 days away. Maybe she'll hold out hopes it'll be a party. But at the moment, it's slated to be a fast. And the fast of Tisha B'Av, as we know, is treated very differently than any other fast days that we have throughout the year. And it's an interesting discussion why that should be. In practice, we know that the severity manifests itself in a couple ways. But normally, you have a fast day throughout the year, one of these other fast days. We have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a separate category that we know. And we have 5 other Tanaishim that the average person, the average Jew, observes. There are many other Tanaishim, Zayin Adar and the like of Bahav, but the 6 big ones. So Yom Kippur we understand is its own category. And Tanis Esther is also its own category. That's a Purim theme, a whole different nature. So separating those two out, so we have 4 Tanaishim that are about the Churban. And out of those 4, which should really go together, you would think they would all be treated the same. And we know that it's not the case. That on the one hand, we have Shavasa Batamas and Asara Batavis and some Gedalia. And those are all occasions when we fast during the daytime. We don't fast 24 hours. We only fast during the daytime. And we only abstain from eating and drinking. That's it. And the other Inuyim, the other 4 Inuyim are not observed on those days. And when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is treated in a much more stringent fashion. So we fast for 25 hours, and we abstain from all the tane, from all the inuyim, and more. So what exactly is the cause of that? So that's a lot of discussion. It's just as an opening statement, the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in a context which we'll go into a little bit more, the Gemara has a discussion which gets up to this tangentially, and the Gemara says in reference to Tisha B'Av that Tisha B'Av is more severe, shiny Tisha B'Av, ha'ol v'huchbulu b'hatzaris, that because of Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is more severe than these other Tanaisim, because, I guess the sentence is a little bit tangential, it's not exactly addressing it, basically saying Tisha B'Av is more severe because of the multiplicity of the events. So what does that mean? Does that mean that a lot of things happened on Tisha B'Av? That's not enough of an answer. As Tosfos points out, we know that a lot of things happened on Shavuos Batamas also. So if it's just a statement that many different things happened, so then the same could have been said about Shavuos Batamas. So Tosfos over there, Tosfos has 2 explanations of what this means. On the one hand, it could mean that Shiny Churban Beit HaMikdash D'Chomer Tzvei, that it's not a quantitative statement, it's a qualitative statement. It's not saying that many things happened. It's saying that the magnitude was greater, that the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash represents a far greater tragedy than other events, and therefore that's what we're referring to. Not that a lot of things happened, but that something really big happened. That's what we mean by Chochbulu. And the other interpretation in Tosfos is Shiny Tisha B'Av Hol V'Chochbulu Bo Tzara Achash. That it's not, it is a question of quantity, but it's not just that many things happened, it's that the same thing happened twice. Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happening 2 times, that gives it a level of severity that separates it from other Tanaishim. Now what exactly that means, something we'll have to figure out, but that's, as an opener, we have the statement in the Gemara that Tisha B'Av is more severe because of that. And we have these 2 explanations in Tosfos how that is different from Shavuos Batamas. So the Torah brings us la'alacha in saying that therefore Tisha B'Av is not something that you're going to get rid of. It's not something that a Beis Din is going to come and cancel. So why does it have to discuss that? Because the Gemara says that there was such an attempt. The Gemara says that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, which is a very surprising idea, and we'll discuss that in a little more detail. But Tosfos raises the question, Tosfos asks from the source, you wouldn't really need a source, but on the surface it's strange that Tisha B'Av is a major part of our philosophy, a major part of our calendar. The idea that Rebbe would just want to get rid of it is hard to believe, and so Tosfos quotes a rabbi, well, the Gemara says that if you want to see the Yeshua, you want to see the salvation of Yerushalayim, so you have to mourn over it. So that's a raya that he shouldn't want to get rid of Tisha B'Av. But in any event, surprising, the idea that Rebbe would want to get rid of Tisha B'Av doesn't seem to fit. So Tosfos says, well, either he wanted to make Tisha B'Av normal, like when you make Tisha B'Av like Shavuos B'Tammuz, that it should only be a daytime fast, and it should only be eating and drinking, it shouldn't be the whole package. Or that he wanted to change the date. And that's the whole discussion that the Gemara says in Tainus, that Rabbi Yochanan had said, that Omalai Havai Hasam, if I had been there, when they had decided to establish a fast on Tisha B'Av, I would have voted for a different day. I would have voted that we should observe Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av. Because the Gemara tells us that Tisha B'Av is, in a sense, less significant than the 10th of Av, because Rubo Shohecha on this Av, most of the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed on the 10th. The fire started on the 9th, and Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in its majority on the 10th, so I would have made it on the 10th. So Rabbi, apparently, according to one interpretation, and Tosfos wanted to move it to the 10th, and that's where it starts this whole discussion. Can we change the Takana of Tisha B'Av? And the Torah says no. Like Tosfos and like Gemara, Hukbulu Bohasaras, Tisha B'Av has this greater severity. It's an interesting question why Tisha B'Av is not on the 10th. Why is it that we pick the 9th? So the Gemara says, Tchilasa de Paranusa Adifa, that we prefer to focus on the beginning of the Quranius. We use that as the starting point, the beginning of the tragedy. There is a whole discussion that we will mention at the end if we have time about what exactly that represents. Some questions you could ask about that, maybe we'll come back to that later if we have time. But a lot of the Rishonim explain that Achronim really building on the Rishonim, Mechtam Sofer, and Yoras Mech, and Asol Veitchit, that the idea is that after the Beis HaMikdash was initially breached, so it lost its Kedusha, like the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, based on the Pasuk, Ubalbo Pritzin V'Chalalua, that the invaders came in and they de-sanctified it. So therefore, whatever happened afterwards was already a lost cause. B'Rai Sarif Sarif, they burnt down an already destroyed building. So even though most of the destruction happened on the 10th, but it was lost already from the 9th. So for that reason, maybe that's why Chazal tell us, even though the answer seems to be different, but maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan didn't win, and why the fast was established on the 9th of Av. Okay, so we have this idea that we have this fast established on the 9th of Av, and it represents a greater severity than other fasts, because of either the magnitude of what happened or the fact that the same thing happened twice. But how does it work mechanically? How does it work that Tisha B'Av should have this greater severity than the other Tanais? So there is a theory that the Ramban puts forward in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam, and it's quoted by the Ran as well in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah. And he says it's based on the following idea, that the Gemara that says Sufal Avoh HaTzaris, that Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara is actually part of a larger discussion. There the Gemara says the following. The Pasuk says in the book of Zechariah that all of these fast days, Tzom HaRaviv, Tzom HaChamishi, that's the way of referring to Tisha B'Av, so B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the fourth month and the fifth month from Nisan, and Tzom Gedalia and Sar B'Tavis, all these fast days, Yul HaBeis Yehuda V'Safson V'Samchu, that eventually they're going to be a holiday. We're going to celebrate on these days. So the Gemara says that's phenomenal. But when? I'll book the caterer. When's it going to be a holiday? So says the Gemara, well, it depends. If you have a situation of Shalom, so then it's going to be a holiday. What does Shalom mean? Sounds like it means a Beis HaMikdash. Rishonim have different takes actually on what it means. It might mean autonomy. Whatever it means, generally assume that we're not there yet. Shalom means some future redemption that we haven't hit yet. At that time, then it's going to be a holiday. But in the situation of Shmad, if we're being persecuted, so then they're fast days. But the Gemara also throws in a third possibility, that if it's not Shalom, but it's also not Shmad, it's not this active persecution, so then Ratzu Mishanin, Ratzu Ein Mishanin. So apparently it's optional. If we want to, we can fast. And if we don't want to, we don't have to censor. So those are the three possibilities the Gemara lays out. So the Ramban says, that's why the fast days are shorter. The other fast days are shorter. So it's really, what's a fast day? A fast day is a 24-hour experience with five inuyim. The only model we have of a fast in the Torah is Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur means the whole package. So if we have a fast day, it should be the whole package. So why is Shabbat of the Tammuz and Asar B'Tavis, why is it not observed that way? So it says Ramban, because of that Gemara. Because nowadays the fast days are optional. It's not Shmad and it's not Shalom, so it's in between. So we accepted them willingly. So we decided, Kaius all decided, you know what, we'll fast on Shabbat of the Tammuz, we'll fast on Asar B'Tavis. But since we're doing it willingly, we're not going to take the whole package. We'll fast during the daytime. And we'll just stay away from eating and drinking. We're not going to do the whole Yom Kippur thing another four times. That we're not going to take on. So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like from the Ramban, which is, we'll see is a part of the issue and argument on the Ramban. That's what it sounds like. Right? It sounds like from the Ramban that once upon a time, Shabbat of the Tammuz was instituted like Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia was instituted like Tisha B'Av, and it's only because nowadays we're in this optional stage, so we choose to do it. We choose to do it in this moderated form. And Tisha B'Av was not optional, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Ho Hufu Bohazar, it's because of the special quality of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is all or nothing. Either it's going to be Yontif, or it's a fast day, but it's not optional. So it says the Ramban, that's what happens. So Tisha B'Av is just normal. Tisha B'Av is the default position. The other fasts were reduced because they're optional. Okay, well, it should be all four, except that the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is different. So that's the context where the Gemara says it. So since Tisha B'Av is out of it, so fine, Tisha B'Av is all or nothing. But the other three have this optional category, so nowadays they're optional, so we chose to take them in a watered-down fashion. So that's the Ramban's theory. So according to that, that's why Tisha B'Av would be more severe, because it's normal. It's not that it was enhanced, it's default, and everything else is reduced. And there are those who took issue with this. For example, if you look in the Shiltas of Achaigon, so the commentary of the Netziv on the side of the page, so the Netziv takes big issue with this. He has a lengthy essay in his commentary over there where he really takes great debate against this Ramban. And he brings a lot of proofs from Tanakh that there is such a thing as a daytime fast, that it's not a new invention. And as others have asked, and this is a little bit related to your question, that the premise of the Ramban seems to say that if there is a situation of Shmad, then these fast days should be the full package. And you could say that we're not in Shmad today, but we haven't been in Shmad ever in history. Is it ever Shmad? That's certainly not the case. Yeah. So one would have to follow the conclusion that in those circumstances, one would have to fast the full fast on Shabbat Sefer Tammuz and a full fast on Asar B'Tavis. So in fact, the Magen Avraham says, maybe Bal Nefesh Yachmer, somebody who is sensitive to this, maybe should be Machmer to do that if the situation is such. And there is some discussion that maybe in certain points in history, maybe that was the practice or should have been the practice. But it doesn't seem like that. We're not familiar with that. We don't see that these fast days are observed in that way throughout the Holocaust or any other such time. It's also a question. Maybe Shmad localized or Shmad the whole world, was Shmad in one place and not in the other place. How exactly you apply that, a little bit of discussion. So there are certain complexities to say that it's based on that, certain problems in saying that it's based on that. So there are those who say, no, the Ramban theory is not the way to go. That's the position that it takes. Says, no, Shabbat of the Tammuz is not in some kind of reduced format. Shabbat of the Tammuz is the same it was always meant to be. This is how it was instituted. Tisha B'Av is enhanced. Tisha B'Av is not the default. The other fast day is the default. Tisha B'Av is enhanced. The question is, if we work off that premise, and we'll use that for our discussion now, if we say, you assume that Tisha B'Av is enhanced, so what does that mean? Does that mean that it's enhanced because there was two ways to look at it? And it has to do with, if we look at some of the other ingredients that we find on Tisha B'Av, so, besides eating and drinking, all the other elements of Tisha B'Av lead us in a couple directions. On the one hand, we could say that they are elements of Avelus. That's what happens on Tisha B'Av, so you don't wear shoes. also you sit on the floor. You do certain things which are common to Aveus. So we know that's the theme of Tisha B'Av. And perhaps that's the idea, that Tisha B'Av is a fast day plus a day of Aveus. And therefore it's enhanced, it's souped up, and that's why it's treated differently. That the grafting of Aveus onto a Tainish makes it into a more powerful day. That's the way the Nitziv himself seems to live. The other way of looking at it is that it's different. It's that it's basically a super fast day or a negative yontif. That essentially it's a day which has a yontif character. Now the pasuk says kara lamoi, we call it a yontif. And normally Yom Tovim holidays we commemorate positive things that happen. Maybe this is a negative yontif, but it's a day that has a negative character built in. And we know the whole history, it goes back to the Meraglim. They cried on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to declare this day as a day of mourning for many generations. So it's a day where we have this attitude that Yom HaMuchom L'Parani is a day which has disaster, the Rechmon Roswan, built into it. So maybe that's the idea, that we treat it as a yontif, like Yom Kippur, but in a negative sense. We follow the Yom Kippur model, and we apply all the rules of Yom Kippur to Tisha B'Av, seeing it as a negative yontif. So essentially, these are two different models. Either it's an Avelus function that makes Tisha B'Av more intense, or it's a negative yontif model. Not that we're mourning, but that we are commemorating a day of tragedy. So some point out, there's a nice little sefer called Divrei Shira, written by Tom McLaughlin from Lakewood. He suggests that those are the two answers in Tosis. And Tosis says two different reasons what it means to say that Tisha B'Av is Huchbulu Bohatzaris, is it correlates to these two ideas. That if you say that the idea is Shiny Chor Beis HaMikdash Tachamir Tzvei, that the quality of what happened, the tragedy of Beis HaMikdash being destroyed is so severe, you're saying we're in Avelus, that we're mourning over the Tisha B'Av, we're mourning over the Beis HaMikdash being gone. And that's the theme of Tisha B'Av, that the enhancement of Tisha B'Av is due to its quality of Avelus, the magnitude of being without the Beis HaMikdash. While the other answer tells us that the same thing happened twice, so what's that supposed to represent? That's a pattern. Now we know that with the concept of chazaka, that for a tragedy, Rachmanos from we say two is a chazaka, not three. So something happens twice, so it establishes a pattern. So one could argue that the statement of basically the same thing happening twice is a way of saying, look, there's something built into this day. This day has this inherent negativity, and that's what's reflected. These are the two answers. So based on this fascinating discussion, the paper, contemporary paper called Avnei Shalom, makes a very interesting point. It's a little complicated. Let's see if we can say it clearly. It says the following, that we saw that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. And Tosfos said, well, he couldn't have gotten rid of Tisha B'Av completely. Maybe he wanted to water it down, just so it should be like Shavuos B'Tammuz, or he wanted to move it to the 10th. So as the Gra points out, and as the Tereyevim points out, that's very strange. To say that he wanted to move it to the 10th doesn't work with the Gemara, because if you read the rest of the Gemara says, Gemara already asked the question, how could Rebbe want to get rid of Tisha B'Av? So says the Gemara, well, no, he didn't want to get rid of Tisha B'Av, really. Gemara says it was a year when Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, as it often does, and it was pushed off to the 10th. And Rebbe's attitude was, "Hol v'nidcha yidocha," that once it's been pushed off, let's forget about it. So hold on a second. So you're telling us that he always wanted it to be on the 10th, but according to the Gemara, when it was on the 10th, he said, "Forget it." That doesn't make sense. So he thought it should be as permanently on the 10th. But he also wanted to cancel it when it fell out on the 10th. So the Avnei Shalom says a fascinating explanation based on what we've been saying. It says, according to Rebbe, Tisha B'Av is about Avelus. The factor that makes Tisha B'Av a big deal is the Avelus. So therefore, says Rebbe, I think it should be the 10th. That's when most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We should express our Avelus on the 10th. If you're going to put it on the 9th, so then that's just a commemoration. And then it shouldn't have all the chumras. Then when you have it on the 9th, then have a simple version. And, so if it's going to be a commemoration, then it's got to be on the day itself. Because any other day doesn't have that quality. Avelus can be pushed off. We know that if somebody has a Levaya Lechmal Son on Chol Moed, so the Avelus waits till after Yantif. Avelus can be moved from one day to the next. But a commemoration is the day has to be its day itself. So it says Rabbi, according to me it should always be on the 10th. But according to you, you want to have it on the 9th, you're saying it's a commemoration of what started on the 9th. So then that's not portable. You can't move that to the 10th. So either have it on the 9th or don't have it. But there's nothing to push off. If you ask me, I'd say always have it on the 10th. Because I think it's about Avelus. But if you're going to say it should be on the 9th and it shouldn't be portable, it should be something that should be moved from the 9th to the 10th. Very interesting explanation. So what does it have to do with practicality? So the Maestro, does any of this affect the practice of Tisha B'Av, whether it's about Avelus or whether it's about the Yom Kippur model, let's say? So it affects a number of things. And let's just try to quickly go through some of the things which it may affect. So first of all, the topic we just talked about, the question of, let's say, Tisha B'Av Nitzcha, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and is pushed off till Sunday, so it's actually a machlokas what that means. So does that mean that really Tisha B'Av is all pushed off, that the ninth of Av is nothing, it's just one of the 9 days, and the whole observance is moved to the 10th? Or does it mean that no, Tisha B'Av can't be moved, Tisha B'Av is the 9th? But you can't fast on Shabbos, so you don't fast, and you make it up the next day. You fast the next day to make up the fast you missed Shabbos. So essentially what that question means is when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, do we say that that is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is taking place on Shabbos with a fast the next day? Or do we say, no, Tisha B'Av has been moved? So that has a number of real-world ramifications. First of all, Machlokas Rishonim that the Torah quotes, do we assume that Avelus Pitzina should apply on Shabbos Tisha B'Av? That even though we don't have active Avelus on Shabbos or public Avelus, we do have private Avelus. So maybe we should say, for example, a prohibition of marital relations should maybe be observed on Tisha B'Av Shachal Lios B'Shabbos. Maybe that's Tisha B'Av and that's Machlokas Rishonim, that maybe Dvarim Shemitzina do apply on Shabbos Tisha B'Av. Another ramification, this is a complicated one, is to do with the question of Talmud Torah. So can one learn on that Shabbos? So there's three possible categories. Either you could say it's like it is Tisha B'Av, maybe there should be an Issa Talmud Torah. Or you could say that it's Erev Tisha B'Av, and there should be an Issa Talmud Torah. Because that's also a somewhat complicated case, that it seems that there's an Issa of Talmud Torah on, not only on Tisha B'Av, but also on Erev Tisha B'Av. Which is, look in the book, my uncle Ben Shiv, the Beis Halevi, said this was one of his 7 coolers that he has, and he would help you could learn in Erev Tisha B'Av. There's a whole discussion, and people have different attitudes towards this idea. But if we assume that you're not supposed to learn Erev Tisha B'Av either, at least in the afternoon Erev Tisha B'Av, so does it apply to Shabbos? So one question is, like this year, does it apply to the Erev Tisha B'Av that is on Shabbos? Or do we treat it as Tisha B'Av? So there's actually three possibilities, and there's three different sheets that we find, that either you treat it like Tisha B'Av as far as learning, or you treat it like Erev Tisha B'Av as far as learning, or you ignore both of them and you say Shabbos, the whole concept doesn't apply, which is probably the more common view. And in the afternoon, yeah, the idea seems to be, right, so it would be a very different, right, that's what it would sound like. So you don't really find that in practice so much, but you do find it in Sfarim. And the idea seems to be that if you're going to learn too close to Tisha B'Av, you're still going to be holding in it on Tisha B'Av, and the Geshmak is still going to be there. So in any case, so that's one issue. That's another issue that you find. So there's a couple of practical issues that come up because it's the issue of Talmud Torah on Shabbos Tisha B'Av, the issue of Dvarim Shebetzina. A less relevant practical issue, but it's also related to this, is if somebody becomes a bar mitzvah on the 10th of Av that year. So the question is, do we have to fast on that day? Because do we assume that the fast of Tisha B'Av is the 10th, and therefore he's obligated in mitzvahs he should fast? Or do we say, no, the fast was the 9th, everyone's making up what they missed. He wasn't obligated to do that, because he was a cotton then, so maybe he doesn't have to make it up. So it's a little bit of a discussion, that's less of a practical case. For a lot of reasons, it's not so a practical case. But another issue, a fourth issue that connects to this question of how do you classify that Shabbos, and this is a very practical one, or somewhat practical one, really depending on Minhagim is we really assume there's not just three categories, there's at least four categories. There's Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks and the 9 days, but there's also Shavuot Shechalba. So we know that when Tisha B'Av is, let's say, on a Tuesday, so there's a status from that Sunday to Tuesday that's different than the 9 days, the Shavuot Shechalba Tisha B'Av. So what if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? So then you have two possibilities. Either that whole week is Shavuot Shechalba, it's either the longest Shavuot Shechalba, or we say like this year, there's no Shavuot Shechalba, that the whole week is Sunday, and therefore the whole tent doesn't apply. So it's the opposite direction. So we say Tisha B'Av is essentially Shabbos, and the whole preceding week is considered a Shavuot Shechalba Tisha B'Av. Or do we say that, no, it's going to move to Sunday, and there is no Shavuot Shechalba. That's a pretty significant difference. There are a few other differences that we'll just touch upon briefly. One very complicated difference, if you look in the laws of Avelos and laws of Yom Kippur, so there are differences as to how the prohibition of bathing plays out. It's a little complicated. The Brisker Rav has one take on it, and the Chassinus has another take on it, but just to allude to the point, there's differences between Yom Kippur and Avelos. Now, what should be the model for Tisha B'Av is my focus, which seems to also break down to this question, what's Tisha B'Av about? Is it about copying Yom Kippur as a day of Avelos? Or is it about, a day of Supertinus? Or is it about copying Avelos? And it would have different rules. As the Machesh points out, it would also affect the laws of Sikha, of anointing. There's also differences, my focus, B'Av and Yerushalmi, which also seems to relate, to this question. Another issue that comes up here, interesting, so the question of how long should Tisha B'Av be? So this question doesn't come up as far as the other Tanaishim, and we don't fast at night, so the question doesn't come up. But Tisha B'Av is fast at night. Here we're getting Saturday night is a little different. Let's assume Tisha B'Av was Tuesday. So the fast starts Monday night. So when does it start? So there's a couple of possibilities. Could start at Shkia, as soon as it starts to get dark, or it could start at Seish. So we know in general, it's a question when the night really starts. The beginning of the process, when the sun starts to go down, we call Shkia, or the end of the process, when the stars come out, we call Seish HaKochavim. So we're not really sure when night starts, and so that whole period is the twilight zone, from the beginning to the end of Bein HaShemashos, is a suffix. We're not sure how to classify that. So when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, which are essentially Daraisa. So we have to be machmer. We have to assume that maybe it's the earliest possible time. So we start Shabbos and Yantif at Shkia. We assume that the beginning of that process we have to treat as Shabbos Mechumra, because it's a Dimmer HaTorah, and we have to assume that the whole process is part, the whole point of time is part of Shabbos. So that's how Shabbos becomes 25 hours long, right? It should be 24 hours long, right? It's 25, because we basically are machmer on both ends. We started at Shkia, and we ended at Seish. So what happens when it comes to Tisha B'Av? So Tisha B'Av, you'd have the same question, but Tisha B'Av L'char is not a Din Min HaTorah. Tisha B'Av should be a Din D'Rabbanan. So if it's a Din D'Rabbanan, so then I would think on the surface that we should be able to be Mekel. We should be able to start the later possible time. Start at Seish. But that's not the practice. The practice is to start at Shkia. And so the Machlokas in the Gemara, the Mishnah in the Masechet Pesachim has this question about how do you treat Bein HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av. And the conclusion is that Bein HaShemashos Aser. Now we treat that whole period of doubt as part of Tisha B'Av. So why should that be? If Tisha B'Av is Rabbanan, why shouldn't we say we could be Mekel, we could start Tisha B'Av at the later possible time? So there's at least two explanations. One explanation is, as we've alluded to in the past, is that we don't treat Tisha B'Av like a Rabbanan. We treat it like a Din Min HaTorah, because it's in this category that we talked about a couple of times called Divrei Kabbalah, that it's transmitted to us from the Nevi'im, that we see it in the Pasuk in Zechariah. And there is this idea that the Shagasari and others have, that we treat Divrei Kabbalah like Divrei Torah. So maybe that's the answer. We treat Tisha B'Av like it's a Din Min HaTorah, so we're Machmir. But there's another idea also that you find in the Rambam, and it's Perish HaMishnayos, that it sounds like there's an idea, according to him, of Tosefos, that we should add on, just like we add on to Shabbos and Yadav, so we add on to Tisha B'Av. So we add on to Tisha B'Av, and this concept of Tosefos, So that question, should there be Tosefes by Tishah B'Av, does that make sense? That really depends very much on which model you use. If you're looking at a model of Avelis, Tishah B'Av is the day of Avelis, so then there is no concept of Tosefes. Avelis we try to minimize. So if Tishah B'Av is about Avelis, we shouldn't have a concept of Tosefes. But if Tishah B'Av is like a negative Yontif, if it's modeled after Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur actually is the source for Tosefes. We learn our Tosefes from Yom Kippur, the model for it actually, and therefore it would make sense to have Tosefes by Yom Kippur. It's interesting actually to say for Shalos and Shulashem Yishimim will suggest, and that's why the Rambam says it, because the Rambam will see Tosso, the Rambam disagrees with all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim assume that Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif is a Din Minat Torah. And the Rambam says only the minimal interpretation. There's only Yom Kippur is a Din Minat Torah. And even Yom Kippur, it's not about the Yontif, it's not about the Malacha, only the fast. The fast of Yom Kippur, you have to start early. So some say, well, that's what the Rambam's saying, that he only acknowledges the concept of Tosefes by Yom Kippur fast. So too, he's going to see it by Tisha B'Av also, where it's modeled after the same thing. So the flip side of adding on to Tisha B'Av is taking away from Tisha B'Av. And that was a question that Rav Haigon dealt with in the Sefer Oso HaGaonim, a collection of what was written from the Oni period. So they have a record there of a silo that was asked to Rav Haigon. So the Anshei Mitzrayim asked him that we normally have a rule when it comes to Avelos of Mikzas Hayom Kikula, that we say, we use the word Shiva for Avelos, meaning seven, but it's really not seven, it's really five and a half. The average Shiva is really 5.5 days, because the first day can be almost nothing. It starts after the funeral, and the funeral might be in the afternoon, so it might be an hour. And the last day is almost nothing, because they get up right after Shachris. They get up after Shachris because of the concept of Mikzas Hayom Kikulo, that part of the day we consider to be a full day. So the last day, seventh day of Shiva, is considered to be a full day, even if it's only a minute long, a minute after Shabbos. So the question is, try and ask, so why shouldn't we apply this to Tisha B'Av also? Maybe we should say Tisha B'Av should also, we should get up in the morning, and it should be over right after Shabbos. That'll motivate us to keep the keynotes very short. So it should be over immediately. So there were three answers in the middle of Haigon. So one answer he gave was, you're right, so we do apply Mikzas Kikulo. You're getting off easy already. Because as we see, Tisha B'Av should be 2 days long. The 10th of Av was also significant. So the fact that we only fast 1 day, that's already our break. That's our Mikzas Kikulo. Instead of having the 9th and the 10th, we only observe the 9th. That's the Mikzas Kikulo. The other answer he gives is that we don't apply Mikzas Kikulo because it's the concept of Avelos. And Tisha B'Av is not about Avelos, it's about something else. And the third answer he gives is that we would apply it, but the problem is we would apply it to some aspects and not to others, and that would make the day very inconsistent, part of it being applicable and part of it not, so we just continue it across the board. So, sorry?
Is that Tisha B'Av is the calendar day.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's, right, that's a very, that would be a very good answer. Right, so that's how many explain in general. It's not clear from the Gemara when Mikzas Kikulo applies and when it doesn't apply. So we tend to assume, first of all, that it's an Avelos concept or a Tumah concept, that it's about things we want to get rid of. But it's not so clear from that from other Rishonim. So some Rishonim say, so why don't we apply it to Shabbos? Why don't we apply it to Yontif? How do we know when to stop it? So one of the answers you find is, like you're saying, that it doesn't apply to a calendar. It doesn't make a day disappear. It means you have a practice. Do something for 5 days. So then the fifth day, or it could be Mikzas Kikulo. But if the day is Shabbos, it's going to be Shabbos until it's over. So like you're saying, a calendar day, that's one of the approaches. But for Shabbos and Yontif, we don't need that answer so much, because our general assumption nowadays is that it's only applicable to Avelos and things we want to end. So these three answers that Rav Haigon gives, Salvechik observed that it seems to reflect three different possibilities: that Tisha B'Av is about Avelos, it's about Yom Kippur, or it's about some combination of both. So if it's about Avelos, so Mikzas should apply, but doesn't apply because it's already a deal, or it shouldn't apply because it's not worth the bounce, or it applies a little bit because it's a combination of both. I'll just mention one more idea, and we're out of time. So this also comes up in the question of how do you characterize the laning on Tisha B'Av. Rav Zolpi has a whole piece about this in his Sefer Mishnah Shavit, that in Tisha B'Av, so we have an unusual Seder of learning, a Seder of laning, that we lain Vayichal in the afternoon. Normally on a Tanis, we lain Vayichal twice in the morning and in the afternoon. And on Tisha B'Av, so we lain in the morning Kisal Lidban in the different Kriya Satar. So Zolti poses the question, how do you characterize that Kriya Satar? Is that Kriya Satar a Tanis Kriya Satar, like we find by every Tanis you lain in the morning? Or is it a Yontif Kriya Satara, that maybe Tisha B'Av has the status of a Moed, and every Yontif has its own laning that matches its theme. So Tisha B'Av also has a Yontif laning in the morning. So what difference does it make? Call it one, call it the other? It may not make a difference. It depends if you have to accept another premise. But this question, a very similar question to this, was asked by Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the Macheshes has this question as well, concerning the laning on Yom Kippur afternoon. In Yom Kippur afternoon we lane. So normally we don't lane in the afternoon. Normally Yom Kippur we don't lane in the afternoon. So there are two other times when we lane in the afternoon. We lane on Shabbos, and we lane on Tanishim. So when we lane Yom Kippur afternoon, which model is that? Is that because it's Shabbos Shabbosim? So just like we lane every Shabbos, we lane in Kippur afternoon also? Or is it a Tainus? So we lane in the afternoon like we would lane in a normal Tainus. So what difference does it make? So it might make a difference if you say that, let's say somebody's not fasting. The Shuva about this next time. So for another place, if somebody's not fasting, so maybe one would assume that you can't get an Aliyah for a Tainus Kriya Satara if you're not part of the Tainus. If you're not fasting, so maybe you shouldn't get an Aliyah for this Kriya Satara that's only there for the Tainus. So then the question is, someone's not fasting on Yom Kippur for whatever reason, so should he get an Aliyah in the afternoon? Do we assume that the whole laning is only there for the Tainus? Or do we say, no, it's a Yontif laning and it doesn't make a difference? So the result is basically assuming that the same question could be asked about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av morning, when you lane Kisa Olid Banim, is this the Yontif laning of Tisha B'Av and everyone's applicable? Or do we say it's a Tainus laning and if somebody's not fasting, maybe he shouldn't be a part of this Kriya Satara, shouldn't get an Aliyah? So there's a couple of premises that have to be figured out. It's a question whether or not you can apply the whole story. Just to say quickly, first of all, the premise by Yom Kippur is not universally accepted. The idea that somebody who wasn't fasting on Yom Kippur shouldn't get an Aliyah, so it's not necessarily the case, because there are those who argue that, first of all, he's not eating now. So maybe he was eating, he's not going to go up there with a candy bar. He ate in the morning, but right now, this minute, he's fasting. So what's the difference between him and everyone else? There is a discussion, some post have, he goes up with leather shoes. Maybe right now he's breaking the times, but if he's not breaking, he's not going to go up there with a candy bar. So maybe you should consider him to be fasting right now. And also, even the people who are eating, if they have a reason to be eating, so then they're still affected by the fast. They're still observing Tisha B'Av. They're not going to party. They're not going to eat everything they want. They're only going to eat in order to maintain their health. So is it so true to say that, oh, this guy's fasting and that guy's not fasting? They're all observing Tisha B'Av. They're observing Tisha B'Av to the extent that their health allows them to. So not everyone accepts the premise necessarily that somebody who's not fasting the whole day shouldn't get an Aliyah on a fast day. And even if you do accept the premise, and there's some discussion, should that really be true that Yom Kippur rules apply to Tisha B'Av? Maybe it's not the case. That when it comes to Tisha B'Av, there could be a difference. And the result suggests that maybe when it comes to Yom Kippur, we find both Los Asay and Asay, we're not allowed to eat. And there's also a positive idea the whole day should be a day of Inui. So there's two different factors operating on you. So you have to fast the whole day in order to create a day of Inui, and you're not allowed to eat. So if somebody ate at any point of the day, so maybe they're missing a certain component of Yom Kippur, even though they're not eating right now. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av is a din d'rabbanan. We thought it was logical to say that Tisha B'Av doesn't have that whole character. Tisha B'Av just has a prohibition to eat, so you can't eat on Tisha B'Av. So if you're not eating right now, so you're observing Tisha B'Av. If you ate breakfast in the morning, if you ate an hour before, okay, so then you shouldn't eat. Every minute is a prohibition of eating, but 1 minute shouldn't affect the other. So if one ate earlier in the day, so maybe that doesn't mean he's not fasting now. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, maybe it's a different story. Maybe it's a package deal that maybe shouldn't apply to Tisha B'Av. All right, so we're almost out of time. We are out of time, so it's time for us. We won't go into the Chazar right now. Those are some of the themes of Tisha B'Av. And again, hopefully it shouldn't be Nogaya. Hopefully it should have a whole turnaround, and this is just a theoretical discussion like Bamos.